Hey, it's Wendy, and right now musician Lyric Rogers joins us. Hello.
Hey.
So almost 2 years ago, we had an interview. It was over the phone. You were at CHEO in Ottawa. I was here in studio in Brockville, and we were talking about your battle with leukemia, and I said, when you get better, you should come here to the studio and perform for us, and here you are today.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that because it does kind of lead back to cancer treatment in a way. A lot of what I've written is just like things that I'm experiencing. So a lot of it is connected to that. So it kind of comes full circle.
So because it was a couple of years ago that we talked, let's go over your story. It was 3 years ago about that when you were diagnosed, right?
Mm-hmm. T-cell, like ALL leukemia.
Yeah. Okay, and you have officially finished treatments. You rang the bell about a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
How did that feel?
I mean, it was pretty cool to have all the nurses that surrounded me for the past like 3 years. And, you know, it's bittersweet because I won't see them anymore, but they don't want to see me anymore in that context. They want to see me go on and get better.
Yeah, so they want to see you on social media performing and living your life, right?
I actually had one of the nurses from CHEO show up to one of my gigs, and I was like, there's no way that's her. And mom goes, you got to go over there and talk to her. It blew my mind. I was really excited about it.
That's so cool. So do you want to give a shout out to anyone who helped you at CHEO?
Stephanie Egan would be a big one. She got me tickets to Foo Fighters, which was crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah, she knew that I wanted to go see them and had some connections. And I took my family to Foo Fighters afterwards. It was super exciting.
Was that at Blues Fest or in Toronto?
Blues Fest, yeah.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Well, I'm very happy for you. It's nice to see you, you know, healthy and living your best life. I do know that what you went through also took a mental health toll. So can you just talk about about the mental health journey a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, cancer treatment is pretty rough, especially in younger years or teenage years. I mean, the kids are a little bit unaware of it. They tend to forget things. They perform really well in treatment, but teenagers are in a bit of a different boat as far as the mental health. It's very lonely. There's, you know, hundreds of people wanting to support you the moment you get diagnosed. And as the months go on, people drop off and you're alone. You're isolated in a room and you're stuck there for years on end and you're constantly suffering. You're in pain all the time. You're sick, you're throwing up, you become bedridden. Over time, you don't recognize yourself. You become more and more disabled. Like, I lost the complete ability to walk in treatment. I remember being on, like, a painkiller drip just because I couldn't bear to live, like, the way that I was with the pain that I was in. So, and that's an existence that you're in for many years, you know? So it's definitely a very difficult thing to do just as you're coming into 15. I was really healthy beforehand. I was running long distance. I worked out 4 times a week, and I was just starting my music career. And everything ended. And ever since then, it's been setbacks and setbacks. And no matter how hard I work, there's always going to be things that normal people can do that I'll never have the opportunity to do. There's parts of it that you get back from cancer, like Make-A-Wish has been a big one. And I write a lot about it. But there's definitely stuff that you'll always struggle with afterwards. And they're long lasting.
And you mentioned the medication that you were on. Are you off all of it now?
So I'm on an antibiotic and I'm on Dilaudid still. So I still have chronic pain. My joints are destroyed. The bones in them are crumbling to different degrees. One of my knees is really bad and I've been on Dilaudid for it. And the more you take it, you build an exponential tolerance. So the more you take it, the harder tolerance you get. And eventually you're on huge doses. So the more you take of that, it gets really brutal at some point. You start to get the really heavy side effects. And there's a degree where they don't really want to get you off of it because the withdrawals are so desperate and they're so hard to get through. That's some of the darkest moments you'll ever know when you go through heavy withdrawal with painkillers like that. I mean, it's really something that people have to be warned of when you get put on painkillers. They're necessary for certain things. But if you're on the heavy duty ones, do not take it regularly every day for more than a couple of weeks because you will become hooked on them and it'll be extremely difficult to get off of them. So you got to be very careful of opiate painkillers in hospitals.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that you mentioned, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't think about that aspect to it. So now you're talking about being hooked and now you have to like essentially be weaned off this medication. And I think that's a whole nother level that people maybe just don't think of right away.
Yeah, well, they trust their doctors, they come on it, and, you know, the doctors have good reason to put them on it because you can't live through unbearable surgical pain afterwards. But
yeah. Are you feeling better now than you were a few months ago?
Oh, yeah, a lot more abilities. Like walking is a big one. You appreciate things differently once you've lost the ability to do a lot of things. Like And, you know, all I really care about is music. To see my effort finally turn out despite the roadblocks and the license rips and the, you know, mm-hmm. and the disability and the painkillers and everything I've lived through, the effort is finally turning out. I'm finally able to do music like a normal person would have had the opportunity to. And it just, it feels good at this point.
Yeah. So let's talk about your music then, because you did write a song about addiction and withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I really recently wrote it. It was about a week ago, and I did it in one night. I think I was home alone, and I saw the robins coming in. And I kind of thought about how that's like a very summer bird. You don't see that in the winter time. And I kind of got this line in my head, like pretty feathers heading south. I was thinking about winter time and just, I hate the winter time. It's such a depressing cold season. And I went off that idea and I was withdrawing from opiates at the time and I was home alone and, it was mild enough that I could pick up my guitar. Like I could walk and stuff like that. So I, started writing and, it kind of has the seasons changing and whatever, but, the seasons changing is kind of a metaphor for depression and loss and addiction and the horrors of it, I guess.
Can't wait to hear that song, and I can't wait to hear your new album, which is coming out very soon. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Code Blue is releasing. I wrote it in the hospital and actually recorded it with Make-A-Wish, which is crazy. I've got definitely a lot of help from them, but we wrote an EP in a week there with three songs that I wrote in treatment. I had to pick them carefully, but Time and Time Again has just released on all platforms. That's the first drop of the EP. If you search Lyric Rogers, that'll come up. The other thing is that I just started a duo called Indelible Line with my father. So May 4th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're playing at Sam's Brass Racks, which is another cool thing just to be able to play with my dad. He's an incredibly accomplished musician, so a lot is in the works right now.
I know you're playing gigs all throughout your journey. Was there someone special who helped you along the way?
Yeah, there was a lot of fundraisers very early on in the treatment, but besides that, my family was the only support. Like, my mom would drive me back and forth from gigs I was booking, and I couldn't walk properly at the time. She'd sit me down in a chair, I'd tell her how to set up my equipment, and I'd play, and I'd make money that one. I'd do it two or three times a week if I was healthy enough. I'd be arguing with the oncology staff to get me out by Friday so that I could play. Yeah, that was my mom helping me through every bit of it. My sister was extremely helpful too. My stepdad was a big part of it. Like my whole family was very supportive throughout that time. My immediate family, was like super.
You performed for people at Chio?
I did. I was in my hospital bed when I was healthy enough playing all the time. The nurses loved it. They were so happy with it. Like they knew me as the guitar guy, but I hope that a lot of them are on the social media now because they didn't see what I was really doing when I was like outside of Chio. And I think they'd be really happy to see me from, you know, bedridden to what I am now just a couple years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. I'm very happy for you and to see you, you know, living your best life. It's really cool to see just how far you've come. So congratulations again on finishing treatment.
Thank you so much.
Well, take it away. We would love to hear your song, Pretty Feathers.
Pretty Feathers Heading South is kind of a metaphor for drug abuse. I wrote it withdrawing from Dilaudid that I was on throughout cancer treatment and kind of it's all a metaphor for the depression and the destruction that drugs cause. I guess addicts kind of view drugs as a breath of fresh air, a way to escape their demons, and that comes into the chorus. Pretty Feathers Heading South, One More Breath Until I Save Myself, is just describing the light leaving somebody's lives and then the drugs to cope with it, pretty much. Pretty feathers heading south. No more songbirds, it's quiet now. Inhale deeply, the snow falls down. Fall back asleep until the sun comes round. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until I save myself. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until the sun comes round. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath, no, I won't save myself. crush and chew me. It all comes quick. Songbirds soar away, silence nests. I feel shivers creeping in. Sunshine's gone, so let the darkness in. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until I save myself. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until the sun comes round. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath, no, I won't save myself. Pretty flowers cease to exist. Even strong leaves break in the wind. Blow away like the songbirds did. Woods turn gray, come lifelessness. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until I save myself. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath until the sun comes round. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath, no, I won't save myself. Pretty feathers, heading south. Just one more breath, no, I won't save myself. Pretty feathers, heading south.
Yay, that was so good.